swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
Every day is Earth Day.
I'm selling.
I'm Ken Gale.
I'm selling Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Somebody's got their sound on. And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic, November 20th, 2020.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Today's show is on a national effort to unite all those concerned with addressing climate change.
One group working to create a unified effort to get strong climate legislation in Congress is Climate Crisis Policy, or CCP, which is started here in New York City. I've been part of that effort for at least the last year, probably more. CCP started with more than 130 published online source documents from a wide variety of sources. Using the Drawdown Project as an outline, 20 experts and activists created a digest of drawdown solutions into 11 broad policy areas, such as food and agriculture, electricity, greenhouse gases, etc., each of which is broken down further. They then searched the 130 documents for applications of those solutions and selected a group of bills to bring to the new administration. Currently, they have 10 bills. One of those is the Agricultural Resiliency Act, co-sponsored by 22 representatives, including Sean Patrick Maloney here in New York, and endorsed by 47 national region organizations. The bill rewards farmers for promoting healthy soil and carbon sequestration, supports pasture-based livestock systems, provides financial incentives to help farms transition to green energy, and has new federal programs aimed at reducing food waste. Good goals, you think?
Great goals. I like that they acknowledge the role of wildlife in healthy farms. There was a part of the bill talking about hedgerows for native bees and, of course, birds that will eat insect pests instead of using pesticides. Because if you're not using pesticides, something has to eat the insect pests. And birds will do that for you for free. They just need a place to live. So there's a lot of whole picture aspects of this bill. I kind of like it.
Yeah, I agree. There are a couple of other food-related bills in the package, including one that kind of relates to what we talked about last week, the trade issues, which is the Food and Agribusiness Merger Moratorium and Antitrust Review Act. So, you know, the big ag, as they call it, tends to want to stop small farmers from doing good things, and that bill would look at that issue.
there's a lot of interesting things in a lot of these bills. How long have you been involved with the organization that's putting these bills together?
I'm really not sure. I was checking back my email. I found going back to at least January, and I'm sure it was before that. They've been meeting every 2 weeks on Wednesdays to they'll often have a presentation on a particular sector from drawdown and how these bills fall into that sector. They also have a core organizing meeting Wednesday nights, all of them open to anyone interested.
You know, Sally, I'm interested to know what other organizations are they looking to coalition with? What other organizations are involved?
Sure. There is a faith contingent for various religious organizations. They're also looking to involve the big environmental organizations as well as the local activist groups. And it's interesting to try and find common ground amongst those groups.
The big greens don't work together very well. Maybe this will change that.
Well, it's hoped that it will. And, you know, even if, you know, one particular group can't get behind every bill in the package, if they can support some of them, then we're finding some common ground. And that's a step forward.
I think it goes without saying that everybody is not going to be on the same page on every part of this.
Fair enough. For instance, we've got some citizens climate lobby representatives who are very strong on carbon tax, carbon price. And we've also got some folks from EJ communities who say, wait a minute, if it doesn't guarantee less pollution in my neighborhood, I'm not ready for that.
Right.
Good old NIMBY. Yeah.
Well, it's not just NIMBY. It's if they're going to just pay to pollute, then it doesn't make less pollution.
Right. So, excuse me, but it's always good to explain what acronyms mean. NIMBY, NIMBY, is not in my backyard. Most people know that. Some people don't.
Right. There's a sort of a thin line between that and think globally, act locally. And, you can do the same thing and say you're doing one and not the other, but different people look at it different ways.
Sally, do you know if any of the food-oriented aspects of this tackle farms that raise live farms? Like, I know that lately there's been some really positive work on people trying to ban overcrowding in pig farms, and it's like, wow, they're really trying to look out for the animals.
Yeah, is there anything? There is. There's the Farm System Reform Act, H.R. 6718, which phases out concentrated animal feeding operations, and it offers buyers to help farmers transition from the CAFOs, the concentrated animal feeding operations, to regenerative practices. Because if you've got some small farmers who have been paid off by, you know, Smithfield or one of the big companies, and they want to switch to a better practice, that's going to be a big problem for them financially. So they need some help to get through the transition.
By the way,
that's the key to combating all of the bad guys, is that you got to get them in the pocketbook. So if they see it's not going to be profitable for them to keep doing the wrong thing, then that will get their attention more than standard protests.
Do they talk about where the land is going to come from? Because condensed farming practices don't require as much land as when you let the animals roam a little bit. And I'm just wondering where the land is going to come from, or hasn't that come up in the conversation yet?
I can't tell you
probably
right
not.
Off the top of my head. It strengthens the Packers and Stockyards Act to require a country of labor country of origin labeling.
Great.
Which is a good thing. Looking quickly to see if there's any message. I don't see anything specifically related to the land.
What website are you looking at, Sally?
I was looking at the Congress.gov's description of the bill. All of these bills on the CCP page have a link to the actual bill text on the Congress.gov page.
The CCP is
Climate Crisis Policy, the group I talked about at the beginning.
So climatecrisispolicy.org. And you'll see a lot of different topics and subtopics and bills and a lot of different bits of information. We can't cover every single bit of it in 20 minutes, but we'll give you as much as we can. I was looking at the buildings part, and there was a lot on energy efficiency and having buildings use so little energy that you can supply all the energy needs with renewable energy. I'm glad. Again, it's the whole picture. Right. There's a lot of environmental groups are specialists, and sometimes a specialist in one area will miss what another specialist is talking about, and so bringing them together is very, very important. And we grew up in school with specializing, right? You don't talk about math in science class or history in English class. So, you know, we grow up specializing, and we need to kind of break out of that, I think.
I agree. And that is one of the advantages of a group like this, is it's really trying to get, you know, everybody into focusing on what in their area helps the climate and how can other groups support that.
It's what Ken and Ecologic is always trying to do, is connect the dots.
Yeah.
You know, I'm hoping that Ecologic is so diverse that you can't predict it in advance, and you have to listen in order to know what we're going to talk about. I guess I should read the topics that are on the website. Electricity, greenhouse gas policy, food and agriculture, general farm policy, land, water, and forests, materials, waste, and recycling, buildings, transportation, women's health and education, just transition, and environmental justice. And each of those contain a whole bunch of things. There's nothing on nuclear energy anywhere, pro or con. So its absence sort of sends alarm bells up in my head.
That's fair, and certainly the group is open to looking at, you know, new bills to add to the package. You know, as I mentioned before, Citizens Climate Lobby says it's not complete without carbon pricing. I think it's not complete without something that points out the dangers of nuclear, you know, and from mining and milling to getting rid of the waste.
Yeah,
too often people don't realize the carbon pollution that comes from nuclear. They just think nuclear is clean, and it's far from it. There's so much involved from the beginning to the end that needs to be considered. And unfortunately, our elected officials don't know much either. Like, you think it's complicated for you to follow some of these things? It's just as complicated for elected officials. That's why they have a large staff. They have aides that specialize in something. Sometimes it's not even worthwhile talking to trying to get the congressman on the phone or even the council member on the phone. Sometimes it's really important just to get their aides on the phone, because that aide is influential in getting that word out to them, because nobody can know everything. And just because you were elected to something doesn't mean you're that smart. But
yeah,
if you
have to vote.
If you put good people around you, that's when it makes a difference.
Yeah, they have to vote on everything, and they certainly can't be experts on everything, so they rely on staff.
And unfortunately, a lot of the people they rely on have corporate interests in mind and not our interests, not our health, not our economy. They have the economy of a large corporation, the health of a large corporation. So that is why we as citizens have to take an active role. We can't just sit by. I remember talking to, I won't say which state senator, who did not know that net metering existed. Even though at the time I talked to them, New York State had had it for about 15 years. And the guy was like, oh, that will never happen. I said, no, it has happened. I want to talk about it for commercial properties.
And, oh, my gosh.
And he was just, you know, and of course, if he investigated, he never called me back to say, oh, you're right. It's... And unfortunately, these experts think they are experts in everything. And if a mere member of the public comes to them with information, they may not accept it right away. So it's good to ask questions they have to answer. This way they'll have to investigate.
So we've gotten off track to talk about why it's important for all of us to contact our electeds, to send educational materials to the aides, to write letters to the editor, to send emails and phone calls and all that stuff. But let's go back to the points about this bill and the complex levels of the bill. Sally, give us another interesting tidbit from CC.
From your years worth of conversations.
Thanks.
Well, okay, there are two things that are coming up. One is they're having a big convergence on December 9th and 10th to get everybody in working groups on their various sectors to discuss what they put together over the past year, 2 years, whatever it's been. The other thing is they're working on an adopt-a-district policy to get people to adopt congressional districts to take all or part of these bills to their congressperson or the congressperson from the district they choose and start working, you know, as part of a team to contact the congresspeople.
Great.
That's a way that people can get involved. If they haven't done it before, they'll have somebody to work with. They don't feel like out on a limb.
What's the best way to connect with that?
Probably go to the website, climatecrisispolicy.org. And that
link will be on ecoradio.org, by the way.
Yeah, I'll put that up today. It's right at the top of the homepage, the convergence information. And I know there are people from like the Indian Point Safe Energy Coalition that have been publicizing this event. So I'm looking forward to their presence having an impact.
I would hope so. Yeah. I'm part of that group, as you know. And
you're a big part of that group, Sally.
Well, you know, as I've been focusing on the greenhouse gas policies simply because I started an email conversation. So, you know, once you do that, you become the head of the committee. So I'm sure that any nuclear thing would be probably considered under the electricity area. And I haven't had a chance to poke around in there yet. But we need to do that. EESI, which I don't really know what that acronym expands to, Environmental Education something Scientific Institute, has had a briefing for Congress recently on pending nuclear waste legislation. And that is one that we should post on the website so people can look at that, because they always have very good experts.
Right. Indian Point may be closed down, but the nuclear waste is still there.
It's an ongoing battle for us the rest of our lives and our children and grandchildren's lives, but at least now we're not at risk as much as if it was an active plant.
Well, the routine emissions of radiation have stopped because the plant's not operating, and so that's going to help everyone's immune system a great deal, because radiation will damage any immune system that it comes in contact with. I've been asking if there are COVID clusters near nuclear power plants, and I don't think anyone has studied that yet.
There have been a few nuclear activist folks led by Tim Judson of Nuclear Information Research Service.
Wonderful right? organization. NIRS.org.
Yes, we've been meeting by phone to discuss the COVID implications, especially in reactors that are being refueled, where they bring in, you know, hundreds of workers from who knows
sure.
where to all work together and shop in local businesses and so forth. And the NRC just says, hey, it's not radiation, go talk to OSHA, the Occupational Safety Hazardous Agency, you know.
Wow.
Eye roll.
So that website again, Sally?
ClimateCrisisPolicy.org.
So I'm sorry to say, but time has flown by once again. We're going to continue this discussion after the show and put it up on our website. We'll send notice to our email list when it is up. So those of you online, you can go to www.ecoradio.org and please sign up for our mailing list.
Yeah, there's a lot of environmental news on www.ecoradio.org, all different topics. So we invite you to sign up for the mailing list so you'll know when anything new is posted. We'll let you know what upcoming subjects of Ecologic are going to be.
Now that is www.ecoradio.org. Now we need you to feel and know that this listener-sponsored radio station is yours. You can show your responsibility and your love for WBAI and for Ecologic and help keep us on the air. Yes, you have that much power. This is how. Go to www.givetowbai.org website to get any one or more of our terrific premiums by putting eco-logic in the search box in the upper right-hand corner. Also, we would like to encourage each of you to become our buddy. Just go to www.givetowbai.org. Go to the BAI Buddy page, and on the drop-down box, click on Ecologic and pledge a monthly amount, any amount. Think of what this show is worth to you. Help us stay on the air. We need your help. We appreciate you.
We have our sincere thanks.
Thanks.
And a big thanks to our wonderful engineer, Reggie Johnson. We could not do this show without you. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. See you next Friday at 2:30 p.m.
Solar power, inexpensive energy. We'll be right back.
$10 a month. It's the price of a gigabyte of data for that iPad you never use. It's two overpriced coffees you ordered when you forgot to look at the menu. It's your overzealous attempts to meet the credit card minimum at the bodega on the corner. But $10 a month could be a lot more. Become a BAI buddy and commit to a recurring monthly donation to WBAI. This money will help us continue to broadcast the thoughts and perspectives of the progressive public. A BAI buddy is also not without perks. Your monthly contribution will earn you a WBAI tote bag and a member card offering Zipcar sales, discounted meals at select restaurants, and a handful of other benefits. You will also become a full voting member of WBAI, and our diverse programming will reflect your voice. Go to givetowbai.org and become a BAI buddy to support Free Speech Radio today.
WBAI listeners and supporters, tune in Friday, November 27th from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. for the sixth report of 2020 from the WBAI Local Station Board. This month, you'll hear from various members of the board. As usual, they'll talk about their responsibilities, recent developments throughout the network, and they'll ask you for your ideas on how to build a stronger WBAI. So, mark that date on your calendar. Friday, November 27th, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., the sixth report of 2020 from the WBAI Local Station Board, only on WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM.
Titled, produced and hosted by Malika Lee Whitney, will be heard on Fridays from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Untitled presents features on the arts, culture, education, and social issues. You will also enjoy music from a variety of genres. Special guests complement the program with insightful and engaging conversation. That's Untitled, Fridays from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. over listener-sponsored, non-commercial WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org.
The annual Jimi Hendrix birthday celebration comes your way on Saturday, November 28, 2020, from midnight until 5 a.m. right here on your radio station, WBAI 99.5 FM New York, and on the internet at WBAI.org. 5 hours of Hendrix uninterrupted right here, WBAI 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. Tune in and be pleased. Amen.
Tune in this Saturday at 7 when Audio Stages launches an historic rebroadcast of Rider at the Spirit Bell, Episode 1, the first of three. This original radio drama series, written by Peter L. Wilson, was first produced in the mid-1970s by a team of WBAI volunteers for their weekly program called The Radio. The producer was Charles Potter. The director, Tim Jerome. Sound effects and technical production were by David Rapkin, and the original music was composed and performed by James Irsay. So join us this Saturday for Episode 1 of Rider at the Spirit Bell.
This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org online. The previous program was Ecologic, just heard Fridays at 2:30 p.m. Stay tuned for Sojourner Truth coming up with Margaret Prescott. And as mentioned before,